Good to be here this morning. Just excited about the Lord. I've had this passage of Scripture on my heart about all week long. Don't really know what I'm going to say about it, but I've had it on my heart. I read the whole book of Joshua yesterday, and just got some couple things just kind of impressed there. I don't know. I know I say it every week. Don't know how long I'll be before you. But if I ain't before you but 15 minutes, just got to get a couple things off my heart. And we'll be done. We'll leave. We'll go home. And I pray that our lives are changed today. I pray that we can say that when we leave here that we're closer to the Lord than we was when we come. And we've got more determination in our heart to serve Him when we leave than we did when we came. That's the goal. That's what I'm hoping for. I guess you could say it's a Mother's Day message. It's a Mother and Father's Day message, I guess. But we'll just read here Joshua chapter 24, verse number 1. We'll just preach as we go. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So Joshua is the anointed man of God. He's the representative of God, and he's called together all of Israel. He's called together the elders and the heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God, is what the Bible says. And in verse number 2 it says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir, and to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after you, after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season." So if you read through the book of Joshua, at the beginning of Joshua, we know, if you know your Bible, that this is where the children of Israel enter into Canaan land, what they call Canaan land, the land that God had promised to Abraham. And it had been passed down to his seed, and now here they are. They've entered into Canaan, and if you read through the book there, you'll see that there was many battles to be fought when they came into the land. They had battles to be fought, and you can read they fought against 7 different nations and 31 different kings, and the Lord delivered them through all of it. They had the backing of the Lord because the Lord had made them a promise that this land was going to be their land, that this was their land to inhabit as the children of Israel under the old covenant. And we see here that they've came into the land, and now this, you can look at the dates here and when this has taken place. After they had came in, they defeated all the nations that was there, the people that was there, and this is now some 16 years later after the land had been split up and given to the different tribes of Israel. So Joshua split all the land up between the different tribes, and then they inhabited all their tribes, and now here in chapter 24. This is approximately 16 years after they had been inhabiting Canaan land in their set place where they're supposed to be. And we read here that he begins to, I guess, kind of give them a history lesson to just kind of remind them of where they came from. And he said that there in verse number 2 that Abraham, that Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And then he said he took Abraham from the other side and led him out of the land of the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And we all know these stories, how the children of Israel ended up down in Egypt, and they ended up in bondage. And then how that the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. He led them out of the hand of the Egyptian Pharaoh. They crossed the Red Sea, and what a great occurrence that is. I've often started using this language, the Red Sea occurrence, the Red Sea experience. I heard somebody say it like that the other day, a Red Sea experience. And when you get born again, that's what you have. You have a Red Sea experience. When they came to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was coming in behind them. The Pharaoh had full intentions of capturing them or killing them or destroying them. But the Lord parted the Red Sea, and a mighty miracle took place, and he delivered them. And now here we've got Joshua. They've been in this land for 16 years. The Lord's delivered them. All the children of Israel have seen how that the Lord worked and how that he moved mountains pretty much for them to be able to inhabit the land that they're in. And he's saying, don't you remember how that before Abraham's dad, Terah, he served other gods, but then I called Abraham. And he said, and now that's how that you've ended up here, is because of the ones in your past, because of Abraham, because of Isaac, because of Jacob, because of Moses. And now it's been passed down to you. And here for 16 years, we've been living in this land. And as I was reading this, I couldn't help but think about some mamas and some daddies and some grandpas and some grandmas that have come before us. And that is the reason why we're here today. You know, not everybody is a first generation Christian. Abraham there, he was a first generation follower of the one true God, but not everybody's like that. There's a whole bunch of us in the place today that's got some mamas and some daddies and some grandmas and grandpas, and as Christopher was saying this morning, some church grandmas and some church grandpas that may not be our blood, but they're the reason where we are right here today. And not just only in our church, but in America. The reason that America has the freedom that we have is because somebody stepped out and said, we're going to serve the Lord. And said, we're going to do things right. And they passed down the heritage down to us. And then here we see they've been here for 16 years. And I can't help but think of why Joshua is having to call them together. Why is he having to call them together and say this? Why is he calling them together and giving them a history lesson? We'll read that in verse number 8. He said, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Gerashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Boy, that's big. That's big. There's seven different nations, seven different people, and it was 31 different kings that the Lord had delivered unto their hand. And verse number 12 said, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, for the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. When I read that verse, I couldn't help but think of grace. I couldn't help but think of grace. Read verse number 13 again. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. So he's given them this land by the promise. It was the promise that they would inhabit this land and have this land, and they didn't really do anything to earn this land. All that they did was trust in the Lord, and the Lord has delivered them through seven nations. nations and 31 kings, and he's given them the land, and now they've possessed it for 16 years. And here he is, he's reminding them, hey, you didn't earn this. You didn't do anything to achieve this. I couldn't help but wonder if they didn't get a little bit spoiled, if they wasn't here, and they begin to forget just exactly where they had came from. They begin to forget about mamas and daddies that had sacrificed for them. If they had begun to forget about that this was the Lord's land and how that it was just because he wanted them to have it is the reason that they got it. And I thought about us today. We live in the age of grace, and the salvation, if you've been born again, the salvation that you possess is not yours. You didn't do anything to earn it. We're eating off the vine. We're eating off the fruit. I wasn't part of the true vine, but I've been grafted into the true vine of the Lord. I wasn't an Israelite by blood, by nature, but I've been grafted into the true vine, and there's nothing that I could do to earn that. There was nothing I could do to achieve that on my own. It's just because the grace of the Lord that he wanted me to possess it, that he wanted me to have it. And sometimes I'm afraid that we get a little spoiled and forget that he's the one that gave it to us. He's the one that gave it to us. We didn't earn it. It's just the grace of God. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy's not getting what you do deserve, but grace is getting what you don't deserve. And just as the children of Israel didn't really deserve this land, they didn't deserve all the blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon them. We don't deserve the salvation that we have, but thank God that he gave it to us freely. Pray for my voice. Verse number 14 says, now therefore, so he's given them a history lesson, and he's reminded them, listen, remember where you've came from. Think about how great that the Lord has been to you. And here 16 years later, after they've been possessing the land, I couldn't help but think that maybe they had forgot what the Lord had done and began to turn to other ways, begin to turn to other things. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So here they are. Now it's been 16 years, and they've been living in the blessings of God, and they've went back and picked up some other little g gods. They've went back and they've picked up some idols, and they've begun to serve other things besides the one true God who had blessed them over and abundantly. It would do us all good to go back and read through Joshua, how that he delivered them through battle after battle after battle, how the Ark of the Covenant went out before them, and the Lord said to go, and they followed after the Ark of the Covenant. And as long as they was following after the Lord, and they wasn't living in sin, and they wasn't rebelling against God, they couldn't be conquered. And as long today as we follow after the presence of the Lord, we follow after the leadership of the Lord, he's not in the Ark anymore, he's in us. We are the Ark. But as long as we follow after the Lord and we keep ourselves clean and we serve him in sincerity and in truth, we can't be corrupted and we can't be defeated as long as we continue with him. But he said to put away their gods, but he said to serve him in sincerity and in truth. You would think that we would know these definitions, but sincerity means entire, completely, without blemish. As the children of Israel were coming into Canaan, no doubt they was clean. You can read back, I forgot his name, Achan. Achan ended up sinning against God, and he died for it because he didn't stay clean. But when they came in and they was following after the Lord and they was clean, how that everything went perfectly for them, everything went good, and they knew that this was the way, and they knew because they repented. I believe that's what repentance is. You know the way and you begin to follow it. And when we get born again, that's what we do. We follow after the Lord, we repent, we follow Jesus, and we do what we know is true. But then sometimes along the line of life, we forget exactly what God has done, and we get just kind of used to living in the blessings blessings of God. And that's where I'm trying to go right here. I believe that the children of Israel, 16 years into possessing the land that the Lord had given them, it had been split up into inheritance for the different tribes. They had been placed where they had, where the Lord had wanted them, and now they've turned back to some other little gods. And I wonder today in our life if we hadn't turned back to some other little gods, if we hadn't turned back to other little idols. I know I preach this a lot, but it's what's on my heart. It's what I see. It's what I feel, that the church as a whole turns back to other little things. We forget just exactly what the Lord had delivered us from. I was a drunk and a drug addict. I was a sinner, lost and undone, without God, headed for a devil's hell. And I had a Red Sea experience. And the Lord parted the waters. And He gave me a new land. He gave me a new life. He gave me a new hope that I didn't have before. He gave me something that I had tried to achieve on my own, but I couldn't get it on my own. And He gave it to me freely. And He changed my life. And I don't want to get used to living in His blessings and forget where it was that He brought me from. He brought me somewhere. He's done something for me. And I don't want to forget it. Let's remember what the Lord has done for us. Serve Him in sincerity. That's entire, completely without blemish. And in truth, that word truth, as it's used here in the Hebrew, means stability, trustworthiness, and faithful. How many of us today are stability, are stable in serving God? Everywhere we go, everything we do, everything that we say, every encounter that we have with mankind in this day, are we stable and are we true in it? Every time that we sell something, say we got an old used car that we're selling, do we disclose everything that we know is wrong with that old car just so that we can show somebody else God? Or are we more worried about selling it so we can get the money so that we can buy something else? We got to be sincere, entire, completely trustworthy, faithful in everything that we do. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods, that's little g gods, which your fathers served on the other side of Egypt, on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse number 15, very familiar. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands ye dwell, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So here they are. They're going to serve somebody. There in verse 15, he says, either choose the gods that your father served, or choose the gods that the Amorites served, or choose the Lord God, the one true God. But you're going to serve somebody, but choose who you're going to serve. And we already see here that they had grown cold and forgotten, was serving other gods and have other idols. But then you get to 16, and they said, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And I believe that's exactly where we sit at today. We've got other little gods and other little idols and other little things that we're serving. But if somebody was to come and say, hey, choose you this day, whom you're going to serve, we'd say, oh, well, I'm going to serve God. Yet while the whole time in our life, we're serving other things besides the one true God. We're putting other things before the Lord instead of the one true God. And he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, you know, we oftentimes read this verse and we read it all the way through, where we'll see it posted up on somebody's wall and it'll say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's great, but I think that we need to look at this verse piece by piece. And I may not get real riled up today. I ain't got the voice to do it. But as for me, this is Joshua. Joshua, I can't remember. It says it over here how old he was when he died. 110 years old. He's getting ready to be buried here. This is the last chapter. But he's some 120 years old. I could imagine what all that Joshua was seeing. He's seen all these experiences. He was the one that got to live through it all. He got to see how the Lord worked. He got to see bondage. He got to see wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he's seen how that the Lord has delivered and how that the Lord has worked through him. And now he's coming down toward the end of his life. And he says, as for me, this is Joshua speaking for himself, the man of God. He had to remind himself, I believe. I believe that he had to remind himself and remind the people that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I believe today it would be good for us to remind ourselves, but as for me. Out there's where it starts. It starts with me. And you men, all you men that was just up here singing, we're daddies. We're the head of our household, and if we want our households to serve the Lord, it's got to start with us as men making up our mind that we're going to serve the Lord. No matter who likes it, no matter who comes against me, no matter what my wife says, no matter what my kids want, if my kid don't want to come, it don't really make no difference because I'm going to make them. I've got to determine within myself first that I'm going to serve God, and then I can make my family serve God. But if the man hasn't made up their own mind that they're going to serve God, they have no right to tell anybody else that they have to. And I believe that's a big problem in our modern church world, is we got a bunch of men that ain't determined and made up their mind, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be at church at 9:45 for prayer room. I'm going to be at church on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. I'm going to be there for revival meetings. I'm going to be there when they go soul winning. I'm going to be at the church and do whatever I can to support my church. We're teaching on church membership out in the young adult class, and it'd do us good to come back and read the covenant. We've all taken this covenant that we would support this church, and we would be here, and we would be here to upbuild the spirituality of this church. And men, it's our jobs as the head of our families to ensure that we're fulfilling the covenant that we made with our church. It starts with me. And it starts with you. I got a few things here. But as for me, this morning, men, make up your mind. And I know some of us, we ain't got our fathers with us. We don't have the husband of the home with us. And that's a bad place to be, and I hate that it's that way. But if you're a woman here and you ain't got your man here, you make up your mind. I'm going to come, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to make my family go, no matter what else anybody else says. This is a statistic that I had seen, and it's heartbreaking, and I thought there's no way that this can be right. But it said that 65% of independent Baptist kids abandon their faith after high school. 65%. That's a big number. And I thought, there's no way that 65%. And then I thought, and this is what happened in my mind, you can think what you want. I thought, well, that's other independent Baptist churches. Nope. That's this church. I began to think about those that was in my teenage class. And I went to writing them down last night as I wrote down names. And out of 12 to 15, it was just in the teenage class during the time period that I was in there. I wrote down like 12 to 15 names. And there's two or three that may be somewhere else. But you know how many's left in this church? One. One. If you're under, let's just do this. This is a little different. That's all right. If you are a senior in high school or under, come here. Seniors in high school and younger, just come on up here. Senior in high school and under, just come on up here. Just line up right here. About here. Now y'all step over there. Y'all step over there. All right, it's pretty close. I don't know how much that is. But this is what'll stay, and that's what's gone. Boy, ain't that heartbreaking? 65% gone. And y'all know our doctrine. Y'all know what we believe. If they die in sin, they can't go to heaven. Are we okay with that? I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that at all. Y'all go sit down. Y'all go sit down. I just wanted a visual. I'm not okay with that. That's not okay. But you know why this happens? Please, don't nobody take offense to this. But you know why this is happening? Because it starts at home. This starts at home. It starts with the man determining that I'm going to serve God when I'm at church. I'm going to serve God when I'm at the job. I'm going to serve God when I'm at home. I'm going to do and be what God has called me to be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now listen, I'm going to do this, and I ain't trying to brag on nobody or build nobody up, but it is the truth. Mom and Daddy, y'all stand up. Go ahead. Y'all want to know why I'm here? Right there. My church is a great church. My grandpa's been the pastor, and you can think what you want. But those two, they ain't never been great evangelists. They ain't never been out here just knocking the doors down, great soul winners. They didn't have some great big ministry in China where they was missionaries at. But who they are right here was who they was at home. Y'all sit down. But who they are today, what you see, is who they were at home. And I can attest to that. They didn't cuss. They didn't drink. They didn't rip nobody off. You wouldn't believe how many times Daddy be selling a car and say, now listen, it leaks a little oil and it's got a brake. It ain't just right. And I think, man, won't you hush? Why are you telling him that? But it done something on the inside of me that I seen that's real. And I'm afraid that the reason that 65% or better, I seen another statistic that said that 80% get out for at least a year. And I did. I did. I'm the only one that's here out of my teenage class, but I even got out a little while. But I came back because I seen something that was real. I seen something that wasn't pretend. I seen some people that even when they was right by themselves and nobody else would know what they was doing or know that they had done something wrong or done something that wasn't truthful, that something that wasn't, what was in words, that wasn't sincere or done in truth, I seen them do it the right way. I seen them do it the right way, and it done something down on the inside of my soul. And it changed who I am, that I believe this thing is real. You know why 65% are getting out? Because they see hypocrites in their house. They see men and women in their homes, it's their mamas and daddies that come to church and they say, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. Just like the children of Israel did right here. They said, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord's to serve other gods. While all the while back at home, that's exactly what they was doing. It never was an option in my house whether we came to Sunday school. Parents, we need to get our youngins to Sunday school. It makes a difference in their life. It made a difference in mine, and it'll make a difference in yours. It never was an option whether we came on Wednesday night or not. That's never been a question in my life, whether we would be here. This is our church. This is the place that matters more than anywhere else. And we're going to be there, and we're going to serve the Lord, and my kids are going to serve the Lord whether they like it or not. And that's what makes the difference. It never was a question. Listen, you get mad if you want to. Never was a question when I was growing up. I don't know what it was like for Erica. She's 14 years younger than me. But when I was growing up, it never was a question if we was going to go on vacation on Sunday. We say one thing. Church matters. Jesus matters. The Lord matters more than everything else. Yet we do something else. And that puts it in their mind, well, this is okay. Well, I don't really have to be all in. They don't really believe it the way they say it. And it puts them little doubts in their mind. It never was an option whether we was going on Sunday. Now, we may have left Sunday after church to go. But it done something in my heart that showed me that this thing was real. It never was a question. Never was a question if I was going to play sports and miss church to play sports. Never was a question. And now we just do what we want to do. And I know some of you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm telling you the truth. Our youngins are leaving the church and dying and going to hell because parents have made up their mind that they're going to serve God. Make up your mind this morning that you're going to serve God. But for your sake and for your family's sake and for your children's sake, because they may end up in hell for eternity, and I don't want to see none of them go there. It's just a reality that many will probably leave and never come back. And I'm not okay with that. I'm just flat not okay with that. We've got some that's dead and gone in my teenage class. They're just gone. Did we do enough to show them that it's real? I don't know. I don't know what it's like for other kids growing up that don't have a mom and dad that proved to them that Jesus is real. But I know what it's like to have one that did. And it instilled something in me that I can't change. It made a difference in my life that nobody else could. And I may not be everybody's parent in here, but I hope to God that the life that I live is the same out there and that y'all's youngins see it. But I can't be the influence on your youngins, and Bill can't be the influence on your youngins that you are. You make your own choices. You decide if we're going to go and we're going to be here and we're going to be sincere and we're going to be faithful and we're going to be truthful and just and righteous and holy in all of our dealings or not. We make the choice. Listen, it's a Mother's Day message. All our mothers don't want to see none of our kids die and go to hell, do we? Well, let's determine today, men first, determine that you are going to serve God. I'm not laying out of church no more. I'm not letting my family lay out of church no more. I'm going to go home. We'll just read this right here. I wanted to read this anyway. We'll read this third paragraph. It says, we also engage to maintain family and secret devotions to religiously educate our children to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We made a covenant with one another and with the Lord when we got born again, but when we joined the church together, that we was going to do this. How many of us is having secret devotions at home? How many of us are teaching our children at home about Jesus? How many of us are exemplary in all of our dealings? How many of us walk circumspectly in the world, just in our dealings, and faithful in our engagements? That's in every last little aspect of our lives. I know it's a little different this morning, but this is burning on my heart all week long. Our children are dying and going to hell. They're dying and going to hell. And it seems that our parents don't care anymore. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. Listen, that's not a promise. That's words of wisdom to live by. It's a proverb. That's what it is. But it's good words of wisdom to live by because it did make a difference in me. It made a difference in who I am by seeing the truth, by seeing the reality that it is real. Jesus is real. Heaven and hell is real. And our children need to see that. Listen, without no music or nothing at all, and men, we should lead our families right here. Let's determine that we're going to serve God, and then let's determine that our families are going to serve God behind us. And let's gather around the altar and make a commitment to God. Here, let's see, I'll read this right here to you. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all that behold, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Listen, let's come set a stone today that we're going to serve God. I'm going to serve God so that my family sees what's right and so that I can be the Christian that I've claimed to be. Come on, men. Come on, men. Your families will follow you.